بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Let's start with universal principles. We're in week 4. Today, inshallah, we'll start with a quick revision because last week's content is connected to today's content. We looked at last week how Arabic, every single word in this language can be divided into one of three categories. They were an ism, which is a name or a noun, or a fa'al, which is a verb, a doing word, and a harf, which is a connecting word. Every single word in Arabic can be split into one of three categories: a noun, a verb, or a connective word. And a connective word, as we said, is a word that on its own, it doesn't make any sense, like on or to, etc. So we focused on the first part, and that was ism. And then we mentioned the properties of that, how to identify an ism, and then the purpose of that. And then today, we're just going to focus on examples from the Quran and the Sunnah itself of the ism. And as we said, an ism is a noun or a thing or a name. I'm going to give you examples from the Quran and the Sunnah so you can now connect, and inshallah ta'ala, you can after that go on your own. Then you can identify the asma, the names and nouns, by yourself, and you'll find that it gives you a totally different meaning. That's why the Sahaba were so affected by the Quran, because they understood. At times they knew that this is a noun, had a different effect as opposed to a verb. So they understood it well, and thus it affected their inner beings. And today a lot of people ask, how come we don't feel what they felt? It's because one of the main reasons, we don't understand. So a quick revision of last week. We said every single word in Arabic is either an ism, which is a noun or a thing, and a name. Yeah, and an adjective as well, that's right. And then we said, or a fa'al, which is a verb, an action word, or a harf. So let's focus on the ism. Last week we gave 5 ways on how to identify an ism. Now there's many other ways, but we just focused on 5 last week. The 5 ways to identify. What were they quickly?
Al.
Yes, if a word has al ta'rif, and that means the. Give me an example of a word that has al.
Al-alamin,
perfect. Allah. Al-Islam. So if it has al, you know 100% it's a name, it's an ism. Secondly, Al-Arabiya, another example. What's the next thing we said? So that's at the beginning of the word. What about the end of the word?
Tanween.
It gives you the an sound. Or in, correct. Or un sound. That's tanween. It has double dhamma or double kasra or double fatha. If it has that, you 100% can identify and be sure that it is an ism also. It's an ism, it's a noun. Give me an example. Abdun, Islamun, Faslun, Qalamun. If you don't have al, at times you can place the tanween depending on the word. Also, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan in the shahada. Muhammadan. That's an example also. Salamun alaykum. So you can either say assalamu alaykum with the al, that's, or you can say salamun alaykum. So as you can see, one is for the beginning, one is for the end. Thirdly, another way to identify the ism.
You can call it.
Correct. You can call it using ya al-munada, the ya of calling. Give me an example.
Ya akhi.
Ya akhi. Therefore, the word akhi is a name.
Ya Allah.
Ya ummi, ya bunay,
ya ammi.
All of those words that you can attach to ya, you can call it, it's a name, it's an ism. Ya waladi, ya abati. What about ya laytani? No, because we said that is a phrase to indicate regret, to indicate sorrow, like, you know, humiliation, like ya laytani, I really stuffed up. So, yeah, of calling, it's a name, 100%. What about the fourth way to identify a name?
It has a plural.
It has a plural. If I would has a plural, then 100% that is a name also. It's an ism. Like the sister said earlier, Muslimun. Is that plural? It sure is. Plural of Muslim. What about mu'minin? That's plural of mu'min. Salihun. It's plural of salih. So as you can see, if a word has a plural, Muslim, Muslimun, salih, salihun, mu'min, mu'minun. Yeah, no, not more than one, more than three or more. So if it has a plural, it's a name also. Going back to the ya, what about nar? Fire, nar. Can you say ya nar? Yeah, you can. It's in the Quran. Allah said, ya nar, kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Allah called the fire, said, be cool and peaceful on Ibrahim. So nar was, of course, a name. And then we said it can be
shrunk.
Correct. If a word can be shrunk in meaning, not in the number of letters, then also it's a name. Give me an example. Umar and Umair. Perfect. So Umair means Umar Jr. Another example. Tufail. Tufail. Correct. Ibn Bunay. So all of those words, they can be shrunk. Qirsh. Quraysh. Perfect. Those are names. 100%. So you say, great, I've identified it's a name. And like I said, as long as you find one of these things, then it's a name. It's not as if you can't call it, it's not a name. You automatically put an X on it. You make takfir on it. Right? No, we'll make them from the verbs. No, you can't make takfir just yet. Ensure that the other properties also do not apply before you can identify that it's a verb. So you say, great, I've identified it's a name. What does that do for me? We ended off last week by looking at the purpose of identifying names. And we said a name indicates thabat and istimrar. A name indicates constant nature. It indicates repetition.
Essence.
The essence of something. And ahsantum. It indicates that something is more permanent as opposed to temporary, like a verb. Yesterday you may have went for a jog, for example. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do that today or tomorrow or next week. So a verb is temporary, while a name is more permanent. Is more permanent. So think of it also like a job title. A job title, that's a name. So doctor, plumber, electrician, that's a name. Therefore, it indicates that person is doing that particular job or occupation more constantly. Constant nature, it's more permanent, and they're doing it probably 5 days a week. So that's what the name indicates. That it's done more than a verb. That's where we ended off last week. That was really the crux of the lesson. That's what the purpose of identifying the name is. Once you know the goals of the name, then when you read the ayat and the ahadith and you kind of pick out and identify the names itself, it'll give you a different meaning and a different experience to those words and those ayat and ahadith. And I'm going to give you examples of that now. So we've done a quick revision, alhamdulillah. So let's give examples of the ism based on the Quran and the Sunnah. And, as usual, if you have questions, please write it down and leave it towards the end so we don't take up all the lesson time. And it's more structured that way. An example of a name. I'm going to remove properties. If you need this, let me know later and I can rewrite some of them for you. First example. Alhamdulillah. When you say Alhamd, is that a name? Alhamdulillah?
No.
Are you sure? Alhamd. It sure is a name. How do you know? Al. Al. If it has al, it's a name. So hamd, hamd is a name because it takes al-tarif, as we said. So now you've identified hamd is a name. Alhamd. So when you read alhamdulillah, you're not saying a verb. You're not saying ahmadullah. I praise and thank Allah. You're not saying, Nahmadullah, we praise and thank Allah. It's Alhamdulillah. Now, what does that mean? When you say, I praise and we praise, we didn't always exist, did we? And we're not always going to exist, are we? But the praise and thanks of Allah always did exist, always does exist, always will exist. You see how it's a constant thing? See how you identified it's a name and indicate it's constant. And that's the beauty of Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. and by saying Alhamdulillah also, as opposed to just saying Ahmadullah or Nahmadullah, I praise and we praise. Because as humans, we weren't always around and we're not always going to be around. Yeah. Subhanallah. So by saying Alhamdulillah, it's perfect. It's constant nature. It's indicating repetition. And it's indicating that this is a permanent thing. The praise and thanks of Allah is permanent. SubhanAllah. Different meaning. Different meaning. So that's the first example. Second example. So another example would be the opening of Surah Al-Mu'minun. How does it begin? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Translated, the believers are no doubt successful. Now, Allah said mu'minun. Is that a name or a verb?
They say
mu'minun. Mu'minun, the word mu'minun. Is that a name or a verb?
No, it's a name.
How do you know it's a name? It's a plural of mu'min. True? Mu'minun, plural of mu'min. So you've identified mu'minun is a name. So now, who are successful? Those who have iman every now and again, one off. One day they're believers, one day they're not. In Ramadan, they're pious and righteous, and outside of Ramadan, they're like shayateen. No, Allah said the successful ones are the mu'minun, those who have a constant nature of iman. Those who have iman as part of their essence, their core. When you see them, that's a mu'min. No, when you see them, oh, I'm doubting, is that person a believer or not?
It's a confirmation.
That's right. And also, it's ta'keed. Yeah. 100% no doubt about this. If you're a mu'min, you are successful. And also, it's indicating that iman is something which is part of their nature. It's permanent. So when you read قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ you understand those who have success are those who have iman, which is more permanent, part of their nature. Not those who believe on and off, as many people do. It's not قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And that's why when you hear يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, آمَنُوا is a verb, you find that the commands that come after that, because every time you hear that, it's either a command to do something or keep away, it's more of a tawbir, it's more of an admonition. It's more of Allah admonishing, it's more of Allah correcting. You claim to have iman, then listen up, you better do this. But when you hear mu'minun and mu'mineen in the Qur'an, then you find it's to do with success, it's to do with something which is more part of their nature, therefore they are successful in the hereafter and this world. That's why you find, for example, in Surah An-Naba, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ Mafaz is success. But who gets it? Muttaqeen. Is muttaqeen, commonly translated those with taqwa, is that a plural? It is, of muttaqi. It's a name. In other words, Allah is saying those who are successful are those who have taqwa as part of their essence, part of their nature. It's permanent. It's a constant thing. So you have taqwa on and off, that's not necessarily a sign of you being successful and gaining Jannah. So when you read those ayat, you want Jannah, has to be constant. So that's what the name indicates, subhanAllah. It has a different effect as opposed to just having taqwa on and off. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ As opposed to, those who have taqwa are successful. No, that shouldn't be the translation. It's the muttaqoon themselves, the pious ones themselves, the ones who are always God-fearing. That's really more of the translation. And then the next ayah is also interesting. So we said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ The mu'minun are successful. In other words, the believers are successful. The next ayah, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ Common translation would be, and they have khushu', concentration, you know, humbleness, submission in their prayers. But no, that's not what the translation should be. Allah said, they are khashi'un. Is that a name? It is. Because it's plural of khashia. Now a lot of the time, how can you identify if it's a name? You have the waw and the noon. Khashi'un, muslimun, mu'minun, salihun. So as you can see, that waw and the noon, right before the end, that's one of the signs, usually, not all the time, that you can use to identify it's a name. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, those who are khashi'un in their prayers. So it's not they have it one off. These are people who have now perfected khushu' and they have earned that title. So to say they have submission and concentration, no. They are the submitters themselves. They are the concentrators themselves. So the definition of concentrator and submitter and humble one of the salah, you see, look at that person, you go, that's that person is the definition of that. So it's indicating that if you want success, you know, khushu' has to be part of every prayer or almost every prayer. Because it's impossible to have khushu in every single prayer. Because even a job title doesn't indicate that you're working 24/7. You may say, oh, my husband does. But even your husband has to take a break. He has to come home. So even when you have a job title, like a doctor or a mechanic or an architect, you still have a break time when you have lunch. You still have time when you go home. So just because it's a name doesn't mean it's 24/7. There's still those moments for break, but most of the time, you are engaged in that type of work. So likewise, the name indicates most of the time. So khashi'un, you could say 9 times out of 10, in their prayers, they have khushu'. They are those who are humble, submissive. They are the concentrators. So once again, the name is an indication that this should be part of your permanent state. Not I'll have khushu' once every now and again. If that's the case, no. We don't fall into these ayat. We don't classify. It's not I have khushu' only in Ramadan. And among the best ways to gain and be among those who are the submitters and the concentrators in the salah is to imagine that you're standing before Allah Himself. Ibn al-Qayyim said, لِلْعَبْدِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ لَا مَوْقِفَانَ مَوْقِفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَمَوْقِفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ قَامَ بِحَقِّ الْمَوْقِفِ الْأَوَّلِ هَوَّنَ عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْقِفَ الْآخَرِ. He said, the slave stands before his master only twice. You only stand before Allah twice in your life. The first is in this world, when you stand up in the salah. And the second is in the next, where you stand before Him on the Day of Judgment. You only stand before Allah twice. And then he said, whoever makes the first standing upright, just and good, Allah will make the second standing on the Day of Judgment upright, just and good. So you want to stand before Allah in a state of ease and tranquility, then you have to do that now. That's the key. That's the key between the salah now and the Day of Judgment. Amazing. So that's how you can, a lot of people ask, how can I have khushu' in salah? I don't understand the Quran. That's okay. If you don't understand it while you're learning in the meanwhile, imagine you're standing before Allah. That's all the khushu' you need. And that's the definition of ihsan. And ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara. Ihsan is that you worship Allah as though you see Him. So just imagine that next time you pray, you're not praying here at MIA, you're not praying at home, you're not praying at work, you're not praying in Sydney, you're out of this world. Imagine you're standing before the master of the universe Himself. Wallah, that's enough. That's enough. Next time someone asks you, how do I attain khushu', that's the answer. They don't even need to know Arabic. Just imagine that. You know when people stand before a judge, they buckle, break and shake. A judge. But imagine standing before Allah, the King of Kings Himself. That should be enough khushu', enough of a motivator. Another example. The word Allah used to preserve the Qur'an, the preservation of the Qur'an. Allah said, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا ذِكْرِ. We have sent down the reminder, meaning the Qur'an. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And commonly translated, we are going to protect it. But Allah didn't say, سَنَحْفَظُهُ. He didn't use the verb. So you can't say we're going to protect it, we're going to preserve it. Allah didn't say that. He said, حَافِظُونَ. Is that a name? Sure is. How do you know? It's a plural of hafidh, so it's a plural. And we said usually the un, usually like muslimun, mu'minun, that's one of the main signs you can use to identify it's a name. So Allah said, lahafidhun, don't translate it as we are going to protect it. No, we are the protectors. We are the guardians, the preservers, the protectors of the Quran itself. Allah used the name, the title. And we said, what does a name and title indicate? Constant. So it's constantly going to be protected permanently up until the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah. And it's so much so, it's part of its essence. When you think Quran, you think it's been preserved. You don't have doubts like the Christians with their Bible. They're doubting their books. And even recently, a guy named Zolt, he's actually been coming to the center and he's sitting in the Sharia college. He's not Muslim. But he strongly doubts the authenticity of the Bible. And he always sends me messages and he says, look at this and look at that. They doubt it. So it hasn't become part of its essence. It's not known to be preserved. But the Qur'an, it's been preserved so much, people know it. People, I can identify the Qur'an to be preserved. Sure, hafidhun in Arabic is like this. So usually we said, if you can't identify if it's a name or not, if it's plural or have that, like muslimun, yes? Mu'minun, salihun. But for those who know the word hafidh, a person who's a hafidh of the Qur'an, yes? That's a singular and the plural. يكتا حفاظ or يكتا حافظون. So when you come to translate this word, you wouldn't say, and we are going to protect it. Allah didn't say, we're going to protect it. He didn't use the verb. He said, we are the protectors of it. We are the guardians. Allah gave himself a title. He gave himself the name, indicating that it's a constant nature and permanent thing. So it changes your whole perspective of the ayah. You think, alhamdulillah, don't worry, Allah's going to look after it. A brother recently messaged me saying, Bashar al-Kalb, he's got this new Quran and it's going to create doubts in the masses of the Muslims. And no, don't worry. Allah says he's going to protect the Quran and he is the protector of the Quran. So don't worry. When you read these ayat, it puts your heart at rest. Another example, this is now from the Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'll take off number one so you can see. When it came to orphan sponsorship, he said, "Ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannati hakada." Commonly translated, "I and the one who sponsors the orphan are in Jannah like that." He said, "Kafil," that rhymes with kafir. When it's on the same rhyme pattern, it indicates that it's a name. Kafir is a name because it has a plural. Yes, kuffar. So kafil is also a name. It rhymes with kafir. So therefore you can identify, if you can just make a word rhyme with another word you know, that's one of the easiest ways also to identify. It's a name. So he said, not me and the one who sponsors the orphan. He didn't say, أَنَا وَالَّذِي يَكْفُلْ الْيَتِيمِ. He didn't use the verb. He said, the kafil of the yatim.
It's a noun.
The noun, the name. The sponsor of the orphan. He said, the sponsor of the orphan in Jannah will be like this with him. And he, of course, put his two fingers together. That's telling you, a person who just sponsors every now and again, once a month, once a year, do they fall into this hadith? No. He used the name. Constant nature. The name indicates something which is constant, repetitive. So that's indicating that if you want to be with Rasulullah in Jannah like that, just like your two fingers are together, you need to be a sponsor of an orphan. And a sponsor is a person who's doing repetitively, constantly, just like they're living with your own house.
What about if you like paid monthly?
Now, if that's enough to
provide
them, which is like every day, then great, alhamdulillah, inshallah, you fall under that hadith. But sometimes people pay the $50 a month. $50 a month is only helping, it's not really sponsoring. When I was in Egypt, one of the most poorest countries in the world, $50 will not get me by except probably a few days, me and my family. So really, what's $50 a week going to do? You're going to help. I'm not saying it's not beneficial.
Yeah.
But this hadith, to apply on anyone who just gives a few dollars,
so
it's or $10.
You're looking at about $200 a month?
Perhaps, yes. Yeah, if you really want to be among the one who's a constant sponsor of the orphan, yeah.
To cover
that we have to cover his rent or her rent, okay. Food, accommodation, clothing. It's everything. It's like they're living with you.
Yeah.
And that's why if you can sponsor an orphan, then will they live with you here? You can do that. Sheikh Abu Adnan actually done that many years ago. Took an orphan under his care and alhamdulillah he sponsors daily. The orphan lives with him. Alhamdulillah, as a Muslim. So he said the sponsor of the orphan. Not the one who sponsors. See, big difference? So even fact, when you learn Arabic, it actually improves your English. Lubki said, sometimes words rhyme with others. If it rhymes, then you can identify that it's a name. Like kafir is a name. So kafil is a name also. Because the rhyme was fa'il. If a word rhymes with fa'il, it's a name. 100%. Like fa'il, qatil, kafil, kafir. If it rhymes with fa'il, then it's a name, 100%. So these are like side points you can always add to identify. Number 6. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ. It is said to the companion of the Qur'an on the Day of Judgment, اقرأ ورتل ورتقي. Read, recite, and you'll be raised into Jannah. For your last ayah that you recite is where you'll end up. The Prophet ﷺ is telling you that on the Day of Judgment, the more Quran you know and recite, then the higher you'll go into paradise. And he started off this hadith with يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ. He said, Sahib. What does Sahib mean? Yeah, friend, companion. Yes? Now, is that a name or a verb? It's a name. It's a name. Because it has a plural, you can say ashab, companions. So no problem in how you identify, as long as you can identify it's a name. Like as-sahib or sahibun, it's a name. So he said the companion of the Qur'an. He didn't say the one who reads it on and off. You have to have a relationship with the Qur'an that you become its companion. You know, like your companion, your friend in real life, you always talk to them, you always call them on the phone, you always hang out together, you always do things together, you go out for lunch, you're always with each other. So you should be like that with the Qur'an. If you want that virtue on the Day of Judgment, you have to be like that with the Qur'an. Why is it when we walk out of our houses without our mobile phones, yee, right? We panic, I have to go home, I have to get my phone. But when it comes to the Qur'an, I walked out without my mushaf. Why am I like that? Oh yeah, now there's the Qur'an in the phone. But one of the worst things you can do is read your Qur'an from the phone. Not because it's haram, no, it's halal, it's allowed. But because the phone can distract you. You're reading the Qur'an, you get a message. Let me just check that. Oh, another message from WhatsApp. Oh, let me just check my Facebook status. And maybe my email. Halfway through the surah, I'll just check my email. Shaitan is going to get you. And shaitan gets you via two main ways. The Qur'an and the salah. Because those are the two ways you connect with Allah. Doesn't want you to connect with Allah. He wants to destroy your relationship with Allah. The two ways shaitan gets you. And a lot of people find hard is the Qur'an. Can't memorize it or they're not motivated. And the salah also. He said the companion of the Qur'an. Sahib al-Qur'an. So you want these virtues on the Day of Judgment? You need to be the companion. So as we said, the name was used to indicate you need to have a relationship with the Qur'an that is permanent, that is continuous, not only in Ramadan. But rather, a lot of people only pick up the Qur'an in Ramadan or when a person dies. No, it needs to be repetitive. That when people see you, they know you. You're a person of Qur'an. Like when you see Sheikh Abu Ubaidah, you know he's a man of Qur'an. It's become part of his day job, literally, actually. He's also a Qur'an teacher at MIA. So you need to have that relationship with the Qur'an where it's part of your daily program. Daily program.
Constant nature.
As you don't want to miss your daily TV program, right? If you miss MasterChef, it's all over. Or you shouldn't miss your daily program with the Qur'an. It should be part of your daily manhaj. Yes, sister. The complete meaning is you memorize, you understand, and you implement as the companions were. That's the best way. The companions will do 10 ayat, 10 verses at a time. They'll learn 10 ayat, they'll memorize them, they'll understand them and implement them, and they won't go to the next 10 until they finish the previous 10. That's the best way, the way of the Sahaba. And that takes a lot of hard work. If you want to memorize the whole Quran, you have to be its companion. You're not going to be a memorizer of the Quran by learning it, for example, once a month. Or doing a one ayah a week. If you want to really memorize the Qur'an, you need a lot of hard work. And if your child is trying to memorize the Qur'an, you'll see how much work it requires. It's not easy. One more. Let's see. I had companion of the Qur'an, preserved tablet, Allah's knowledge. Okay, hellfire and then one of Allah's names. Because that'll make things really clear. Hellfire. Surah Al-Naba. Allah says about the kuffar, لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. The kuffar are in the hellfire for a long time. Permanent residency in hellfire. لَابِثِينَ. What does that rhyme with? مُسْلِمِينَ. صَالِحِينَ. مُتَّقِينَ. So لَابِثِينَ, is it a name?
Yes.
It is, because the other words are names, because they have a plural. So لَابِثِينَ is plural for لَابِث. So you have صَالِح, صَالِحِينَ. لَابِث, لَابِثِينَ. So Allah used the word to describe their residency in Jahannam with labithin. He didn't say they're going to stay there or they're going to reside. He didn't use the verb. He used the name. The name. He said, what does the name indicate? Constant. Permanent nature. These people are going to stay there forever and ever and ever and ever. SubhanAllah. Like when you get your visa stamped, when they go to Jahannam, here you go. Here's your permanent residency in Jahannam itself. And they've actually earned the title of resident. Allah gave him the title, لَابِثِينَ. He gave him the title. Now you're going to stay and you're going to come out later on. Or you're going to die and you're going to be destroyed and pulverized and after that you don't exist. He gave him the title, resident. Just as you have the title at home, resident, like Bizri residents, someone calls. Kuffar have the title of resident. Residents of hellfire. Allahu Akbar. So residents of hellfire. Allah didn't say they're going to reside. That's a verb. To reside is a verb, yes? Even in English, you understand. Allah said, لابثين. لابثين فيها أحقابا. So لابثين, مسلمين, مؤمنين. So when you read these ayat, and the way we should be reading them is slowly to understand them. Does Allah use the name or the verb? Did you use a harf or did you use a fa'al? So when you read it slowly, and that's how we should approach the Quran, now we're going to understand the meanings. And the more you do that, the more it's going to share with you its pearls, its lessons, its gems. Just like a friend. The closer you get to a person, the closer your friendship, the more they share secrets. Likewise, the Quran. The closer your friendship with it, the closer it is, the more secrets it's going to share with you. More pearls and gems. SubhanAllah. So they're residents. Allahu Akbar. And sometimes you go and you travel overseas and you're going to reside in a country for a long time. Then where would you like to reside? Right? Would you like the penthouse suite? Or would you like the lower level? Or would you like a great view? Where would you like to reside? So these people, their permanent residence is Jahannam. So where would you like to go? You can imagine. Would you like to go to the brain boiling room? Or would you like to go to the bone crushing room, Al-Hutama? Or the guts exploding room? Where would you like? SubhanAllah. And you know, you go to a restaurant, would you like tea or coffee? Or would you like hamim or ghassaq? Hamim is boiling water. Yeah. What would you like to eat as an appetizer? Sajratu zuqqum. So, it's funny, but actually when you think about it, it's quite terrifying to say the least. And we'll end with one more. Arruh. Yeah, labithina fiha ahqaba. Surat al-Naba. Labithin. Labithin. No, reside, huh? Labatha is to reside. See how now your translation, it'll change because labithin is plural of labith. And we'll end with one more.
Is there only eight?
No, there's many more in the Quran and the Sunnah. Is that what you're referring to? No. I'm just going to give you eight examples today. But there's so many. For example, ayat al-Kursi. Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hay al-qayyum. There's another three. So you can now read ayat al-Kursi and you can do that for homework. And try to identify the names and the lessons you can take out of it. But we'll give you one more. And that is the name Ar-Rahman. The name of Allah itself. So of course, we've identified it's a name. How do you know? Al, right? Correct. Ar-Rahman has Al in the beginning. So it's a name, no doubt. One of Allah's names. And you can also say? Yeah, that's because of another rule in Arabic. Ar-Rahman. It's huruf shamsiyya. Also, can you call upon Allah? Can you say Ya Rahman? Can you say that? You sure can. Therefore, it's a name. All of Allah's names. The fact that you can call upon Allah, His names, it indicates it's a name. And we know it's a name of Allah. That's easy. You've easily identified it's a name.
Like when you say Ya Latif.
Correct. Latif is a name of Allah. Correct. So we'll end with this. So the fact that it's a name, it indicates that Rahmah is part of Allah's essence, mercy. So Ar-Rahman, we know it's a name, yes? Because you can call upon Ar-Rahman. 100% it's a name. It indicates Rahmah, mercy, is part of Allah's nature, His essence. It's a permanent thing. As opposed to ghadab. Anger is something that Allah will have on the Day of Judgment. Allah will, He'll be angry on the Day of Judgment with the kuffar and He'll send them to the hellfire and perhaps some believers. But it's not one of Allah's names. Allah doesn't have any name that is negative, like al-ghadib or ghadban. They're not any of Allah's names, the one who's always angry, no. Or al-makir, the deceiver. That's not a name of Allah. You don't have any names of Allah that are negative, like Al-Mu'adhib, the Punisher. No. SubhanAllah, that shows you the beauty of the names of Allah. And that's why the kuffar, when they say, your Lord is a Lord of anger and vengeance and hate. Or if that's the case, show me one name in the Quran and the Sunnah that indicates that.
Yeah.
You don't have a single name, alhamdulillah, in the Quran and the Sunnah, a single name that deals with anger, that deals with hate, that deals with wrath and punishment. Not a single name. Attributes, yes. Attributes, yes. But the attributes are verbs that are temporary. Temporary. Now, what does that indicate? Allah's mercy is constant. It's permanent. For example, the heartbeat. Every heartbeat is a mercy from Ar-Rahman himself. The heartbeat. And the average heartbeat is approximately 60 to 70 times a minute. Now multiply that by 60 to get the beats in an hour. Multiply that by 24 to get the beats in a day. And multiply that by the days of the year to find how many beats you have in an entire year. How many beats do you get? The answer is approximately over 30 million. Wow. Over 30 million beats a year. Your heart beats at least 30 million times a year. SubhanAllah. Every single heartbeat is a mercy from Ar-Rahman. Wow. And multiply 30 million by your age. The numbers now are astronomical. You can't even begin to enumerate and count. Every heartbeat is a rahmah from Allah Azza wa Jal, Ar-Rahman himself. Indicate it's constant, it's repetitive, it's permanent. That's Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's only the heart. Oh, that's only the heartbeat actually. There's actually more to the heart than this. We know there's four chambers to the heart. There's the two atriums, the two ventricles. And on top of that, you have the veins, the arteries, the capillaries. You have the blood vessels. You have the hemoglobin. You have the platelets. You have the white blood cells, the red blood cells, platelets. You have all of these things with the circulatory system. Then you move on to the skeletal system. Then the muscular system. Digestive system. Endocrine system. Nervous system. And all of those systems work like clockwork. You don't have to control them. Imagine you have to control your own heartbeat. Imagine you have to pump your own heart. You're talking to someone, wait a minute, sister, let me just pump my own heart. Imagine that. How would you work? How would you drive? How would you eat? How would you sleep? How would you do anything? All of these things work in our body simultaneously, and we don't even have to think about them. Imagine you have to digest your own food. You automatically take away all the fat. That's a given. But how hard would that be? Send this protein here, send that nutrient there, send the vitamin B down here, send the vitamin C over there. Very difficult. How would you do it? Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us these systems that just work automatically. Wow. And just the heartbeat in of itself, we can't even keep up with thanking Allah for that. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Allah said, if you were to count the ni'mah, He said one, singular. If you were to count a blessing, you can't even do so. You can't even keep up with one. We just illustrated that, the heartbeat. That's just one blessing. Try to keep up with thanking Allah 30 million times a year just for the heartbeat.
Even by sneezing, your heart stops.
Yeah, well, either we can go on and on talking about the human body. It's amazing. It's amazing, subhanAllah. And it gets more than that. It gets more than that. Of course, as we said, with other systems of the body. And so that's all a rahmah from Allah Azza wa Jal himself. So
never be content with your worship.
Yeah, never. And subhanAllah, one of the salaf said, whenever I say alhamdulillah, that is deserving of another act of saying alhamdulillah. Yeah, the fact that I was able to say it, that deserves another act of praise. Amazing. So that shows you rahmah is part of Allah's mercy, nature, sorry. It's part of His essence. It's always happening. And I'll end with this. Imagine you woke up with the blessings you only thanked Allah for yesterday. You'll probably be left with nothing. But Allah keeps on giving us another chance to turn back to Him, Azza wa Jal. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow us to enter Jannah via His mercy. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.